Wallow!
The Galore Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word.
All right, welcome back to Wallow with Otto and JC. Yeah. Hope you're all having a good night.
Away from the rain. Oh my goodness, yes. This weather is horrendous.
Is it still going on?
Yes. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
I'm glad I'm not
yeah,
outside.
Yeah, we're warm and cozy here in BFM Studio One, and dry. So hope you all are keeping warm and dry as well. As we mentioned at the start of the show, we had the privilege of chatting to the one and only Alisa Zilith, formerly from The Naked and Famous.
You guys, I don't even have the words because I can't stop yapping about this because I love her so much.
You were fangirling pretty hard during the interview.
Because
understandable.
Yeah, because I mean, when I first moved to New Zealand, I discovered her through radio, and I was talking to it about it in the interview, but we can talk base about that anyway. Mm. So let's get right into it, shall we?
Yes, here is our interview with Alisa Zilith.
Kia ora, this is the Wallow Radio here at 95 BFM, and we have a very important guest here. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Alisa Zilith, and it's totally a pleasure to be on here.
And thank you for being on here as well, because I'm a big fan of you and The Naked and Famous. I've grown up listening to you since I moved to New Zealand, actually.
Oh my gosh, where did you move from?
I was originally from this little town in the Philippines, and your music reached all the way there because of an
ad. Oh my gosh.
How crazy is that, how like New Zealand music can reach certain places in the globe?
Yeah, I think it's insane. I think that's the kind of amazing thing about technology, is that it can reach these far-fetched places like Latvia and the Philippines and like Laos, even, which is where my family are from. It's just amazing how it can connect to the far reaches of the world. I love 95 BFM, as you were just telling me about. I was just looking at you boys in the room there. And when I wrote my very first song called Serenade, which is like a deep Naked and Famous cut, that was like my very first song I ever wrote, and we released it into the world, Tom and I. It was just Tom and I at the time, and it went number one on the 95 BFM top 10, and it was just like the biggest, one of my biggest goals was to be on the top 10 95 BFM back in the day when I was working at Real Groovy Records. So I think this radio station will always have a soft spot in my heart, because it was the first place where I really wanted to get our music out there and listen to. And yeah, it's a really nice kind of full circle moment for me.
Oh my gosh, that is really a nice thing to say for our radio station here in Tamaki. And yeah, no, honestly, I'm really happy that you said that as well. Since you just mentioned The Naked and Famous, as it's been like also been almost 5 years since like you guys have been in a band, could you please tell us about your creative process as a solo artist and how it has given you a chance to grow as a solo artist?
Well, I think being one woman out of a five-piece band, surrounded by boys, male management, very male-dominated industry, I spent so much of my life in this kind of world of like synth rock bands for like 10 years, you know? And I think when COVID happened, I was really craving a softer, more feminine, more delicate space creatively. I wanted to just wrap myself in like lush harmonies and jangly guitars and pretty layers, you know. It was something that I was really craving, and so when I decided to take a break from the band, and it seemed like the perfect time to, as the world was falling apart, but also there was a lot of conflict within the band, and it was kind of just the universe telling me like, hey, I think this is the right time to kind of put the brakes on and explore other things and fill your cup up and fortify yourself creatively. It was really the beginning of COVID that was the gateway into this new world I was creating.
I love how you said that as well, because like most people in the industry have like this idea where they either feel underwhelmed or they have no chance to like speak up for themselves in their creative way, and how you describe that kind of gives me an opportunity to like say like I'm really happy that you have found your voice, because I love your voice, by the way. Like you sound amazing. Even without The Naked and Famous backing you up, you sound incredible. Because I was just gonna like mention, I love your song Roses, and it has like this certain dream where you are in love, and it has like a certain level of identity or individuality as well. I just wanted to like ask, like, there's like a lyric in there as well. It's like, after all we've been through, I still want to take a walk with you in the garden. Is there like a certain persona that you were putting on or coming into play? Because songwriters nowadays have like this vision to story build into their songs.
I know. That's become more prevalent in the culture. You can't be a mysterious artist anymore, or it's really, really difficult to. I wrote Roses during a pretty low time, and I think I really wanted to create something hopeful. And when I reference, like, both our heads are hanging low, we're kind of down in the dumps, like nothing seems to feel like it's going to get better. And part of my personality, just who I am, I'm a very resilient person. I will just power through whatever it is for the greater good of everyone else. And I wrote a hopeful song during a really low period of my life at the time. And I was thinking about Billy Corgan's song Today. You know, when he wrote that song, he was in one of the lowest points of his life, but he kind of just like wrote the song about having that today was going to be the greatest day and everything's fine. And so I kind of wanted to like fake out and write a song that was hopeful, even though I wasn't feeling very hopeful, but maybe I could trick myself into feeling that way.
Was it kind of like your way of coping, perhaps?
Yeah, it was definitely my way of coping and kind of rewiring my brain a little bit.
I never really thought of it like that, because I love certain songs like have the synth and also just the way it like is being produced, because I just like to like pick it out, you know what
oh
I mean?
My gosh, yeah. Jason Salido, who I wrote with, who produced that song, is so talented. And massive shout out to AAPI Month, because he's like a Korean producer, and I don't think I've worked with a lot of Asian producers, which is crazy to think about for how long I've been in the music industry. He's incredibly talented. He is in a band called Sir Sly, and is just like this synth, guitar, drum, just this multi-instrumentalist. And yeah, it was so cool working with him.
Just from what you've previously said, you've captured certain things in the new album Slow Crush. Has there ever been a moment in your creative process where, oh, this doesn't sound like me? Like, were there any second guesses into making the album?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the second guesses that happened are the songs that didn't make it. I think when I was writing this record, it was really easy for the songs to sound really pop if the production was too clean, because my voice is quite a clean timbre, and I really wanted to make sure there was enough fuzz and noise and kind of like ugly kind of sounds to kind of contrast with my delicate sounding vocal tone. So first of all, I knew what I didn't want. And second of all, if I walked into a writing session with someone and they knew of my background being in the Naked and Famous, and if they began writing music that sounded like the band, I'd be like, no, this isn't happening.
My previous question is kind of relating to this next question. Have you considered adding any like cultural references to your Lao heritage, or maybe even some visual representation from Laos?
I think I tried to do that a few years ago, but it just didn't come across very well. Like, I think if I'm going to incorporate parts of my heritage, I really want to do it in a dignified way. And I just haven't quite found that balance yet. You know, like, I've never worn traditional Lao clothing, and that's something I'd like to experience for myself. And I don't know how I could weave that into my music yet. I think there's still a world to be discovered with how those two things can be kind of enmeshed together. But it is something I have thought about.
Have you ever had the opportunity to maybe explore the music scene in Laos or Southeast Asia?
Not a whole lot. I have a friend who is Cambodian. He's an artist. His name's Mooney. And I feel like whenever we get together and talk about music, it feels like we're the outliers, because a lot of Southeast Asian music, from what I can gather, and I'm generalizing here, like I don't know a whole lot, but it's a very R&B and hip hop dominated. I don't know if there are a lot of like indie artists per se doing a similar thing that I'm doing. I'd love to hear those artists.
I guess like just on that topic, you know, having achieved like prominence in the New Zealand music industry, which is largely white male dominated, as a Southeast Asian woman of color, are there any like challenges you faced along your musical journey that's kind of related to that?
I feel like I was made to kind of blend in. You know, I was in a band with four other guys, and there was another lead singer there, and so I really had to kind of just blend in. and not stand out too much. And I would already stand out because I'm like an Asian woman fronting this like synth band. And I remember meeting someone very early on, we had a passing conversation, and they said, when I heard your music, I assumed that the singer would be like a little petite blonde girl fronting the band. I'm like, well, it's not. And I thought that was really interesting. I'm like, yeah, there were just not a lot of Asian women at that time fronting bands like that. But now we have such an amazing, amazing array of Asian artists out there that are doing indie music. It's so cool to be witnessing that right now in culture.
So now that you have your solo career established, do you feel like you no longer need to blend in and that maybe you can stand out a little bit more?
Yeah, I feel like I can just be myself. It's nice to feel like I can just be myself in a room and I don't have to kind of blend in and I don't have to make myself smaller. I can just exist and it's totally cool. One thing that I also encountered on this tour that I did with opening for Sunday 1994, I did meet and greets after the show at the merch table, which has been so fun. But there was one girl who came to the show and she was like, you know, I came here on a whim. I wasn't really looking to come to a show, but I was bored and I wanted to go out and see what was happening. And when I walked into the room, it was just all white people. And I just thought I made a mistake. And then I looked up and I saw you singing on stage and I just felt so happy because she was Chinese and she was like, I was just so happy to see an Asian woman up there singing indie singer-songwriter music and I just want to thank you. And that just made me feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at the time that I'm supposed to be doing it. It felt incredible. I know the word representation gets thrown around so much like a crazy buzzword, but it does matter. And I just witnessed that and I was part of that kind of experience of how representation actually does matter.
Do you get a lot of other Asians in the indie music scene here reaching out to you saying similar things that you make them feel represented?
Yes, I do. I do. I get messages and it's just so true. Like if you can see it, then you can be it. And for me, that growing up and making music and learning how to play the guitar, that for me, that was Bit Corona. She was like the one Asian singer-songwriter woman in the music industry at the time, and her sister. And if I can be that for people of a younger generation who want to do music, I just feel like so honored that I can play that role.
Coming from you, it honestly means a lot because both of us here are developing artists, and having you front that is honestly just like amazing because we want to see more of that.
Yay!
This is my personal question because, again, like I mentioned, I'm a developing artist and I wanted to know your opinion. In your process mm-hmm. of creativity, you were mentioning that you were able to be vulnerable while writing this mm-hmm. album as you mm-hmm. were wanting to overcome like that imposter syndrome, tall poppy, mm-hmm. and any mm-hmm. anxieties that you were going through in your own personal experiences. What would you say to a younger person like yourself, like who were trying to get into their music and like getting into the music industry and how much work you had to go through and how you could help someone else to overcome that?
Honestly, therapy. Therapy changes lives, honey. And also that and write the song. Start the song, go from A to B, write your shitty song, write five more, and it's going to make you feel so good. There's like something that happens to the brain when you achieve a little goal that you set out to do, especially a creative one. And I think the more you do something, the easier it becomes. You learn the language, you get to know your tools really well, you're able to communicate what you're hearing and thinking and feeling in your brain out onto laptop, journal, microphone. And it's even better if you have a collaborator you trust, because when you have a collaborator in the room where you can kind of tell your story and be honest about what you want to write about, you have someone else in the room that's saying, that's beautiful, that's honest, yes, I'm here to support you. Maybe we can say that in a different way that could be less on the nose. And I think that is how I was able to kind of create, be vulnerable, be honest in my creative process. It's really hard to get started, but you just have to start. You just have to like start writing the songs. You're going to write some really shitty ones at first, but you're just going to keep going, you know?
Gosh, honestly, coming from you, that's so real. Just how, like, it's so hard to start. Because I have so much in my bank of notebooks that I just want to put out. But the little perfectionist me being, oh my gosh, is this really, like, a cringe-worthy song? Or is it just...
Honestly, you go do it and build community, and that will, like, build you up and encourage you. And yeah, it's a crazy thing to write songs and be artists and wear your heart on your sleeve. And you're brave when you just decide to put it out in the world. You feel like, I've never felt more naked when I release a song. I'm like, okay, here's everything I'm thinking and feeling in 3 minute song. So here you go.
You were just mentioning community just now. And this is something that I wanted to, like, incorporate, because as a Southeast Asian living here in New Zealand, growing up in a westernized community, would you ever, like, want to be involved in the Asian community if you had the opportunity to here in Aotearoa?
Oh my god, 1,000%. 1,000%. So there's an artist here in LA who I love. Her name's Lin Yang. We're on the same label. She's from Singapore. And she and I talk about having a community. It's so important to have community outside of the music world as well. And she brought me into her community where she plays badminton 3 times a week with the cutest little senior citizens. They're like Filipino, Chinese. It just like all your grandmas and grandpas. I walk in and they like, I like, hi, how are you? Who have you come here with? Oh, Lin brought you in. And I just felt so at home. And I was like, oh, we need like an Asian community like this, but like full of creatives. Like if I can walk into a room and feel welcomed and feel so good when I leave after hanging out there for an hour, like imagine being able to create that for a bunch of other Asian creatives. So like, yes, if I lived in New Zealand, I'd love to create something like that. I think that would be so cool.
Earlier, you mentioned Bik Runga as like an inspirational artist for you, but are there any other Asian artists here in Aotearoa that you've been checking out recently?
Or you've been wanting to collaborate with in the future?
Oh my gosh. This is where I show my cards, where I feel like I've just been so, so out of touch. But hey, one of my faves, Phase of Days, love her. Amelia. I know she's coming here soon in August, but she's actually a dear friend and confidant. And I, in a panic, I called her about how to prepare for tour because I just did it for the first time on a budget. And she just literally did it with supporting Pond in North America. And I was like, Amelia, tell me everything. What do I need to know? How do I prepare for this? And she had some great advice to give me. And we would do these like virtual rehearsals together where we'd be on Zoom, but we'd have the volume muted and we'd just see each other playing and, you know, just holding each other accountable. I thought she's just the best. So I'd love to work with her on something. Like I just know it's going to happen one day.
I'm going to be here for it because I'm a certified Phase of Days fan. And
yeah, me too.
No, because you have no idea, because you guys are both in the same like sound genre and it just makes sense that you guys should collab, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think she was one of the first people that heard my song Roses for the first time before it was released. Yeah.
Demo stripped down little bits and pieces.
Dinky little demo at the time.
Do you think we can expect a feature from her on your next release?
Oh my god.
Or maybe a feature from
I'd
you
love...
on the next Phase of Days release.
Not even a feature. I feel like it's a full on collab. Wow. I'm putting it out there. Amelia, if you hear this, we'll talk about it later.
Because did you know she's about to release a new single today, Motorway?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, she's busy, girl.
She literally said, I'm going to take a break from music, aka drops a new single after releasing a full-length album.
Oh, my God, I love it. She's amazing.
This is the last question for now.
Okay.
Unless Otto wants to jump in. It is currently New Zealand Music Month, and it is actually... It's such a busy, busy time for New Zealand artists, like yourself as well. Yeah. Is there any going to be future releases as a solo artist coming up soon, or is there...
After this album, should I pull in Amelia and just pull a Phase of Days and drop a new single?
Sure.
Well, you know, Men I Trust just dropped like a double album, which is crazy. But we're talking about New Zealand artists, and I am one of them. I am hoping to get some new music out as soon as possible, but I want to luxuriate in the fact that my first one just came out. And I have a show coming up in LA June 5th at the Troubadour, which will be my debut LA show, opening for an incredible band called Sunday 1994. So as soon as I'm done with that show, I'm gonna get back into the studio and start writing.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna be here for it. I want like detailed videos, because I feel like you could have an incorporated, like putting it out there in your socials, because like I just love to dig through that, just seeing how you do your process online or personally, I guess.
Yeah. Social media is, oh my gosh, it's a thing. It's a thing you have to constantly
consider,
stay up with. I mean, you guys know.
I mean, I know, because I'm like chronically online most of the time.
For what about like you, Otto? Are you having to be a social media whiz as well? You know,
yeah.
Developing artists, it's a free tool. It's what I'll say to everybody and myself. We have everything we need. We just have to use them consistently.
Yeah, and you kind of have to like force yourself to do it as well. You have to like swallow the cringe and be like, no, I just have to like, you know, post this and get it out there.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident as JC when I'm posting on social media. You know, I'm, you know, this guy's a whiz. Like he knows exactly what to do, but like I have to force myself to, like, you know, post those like stories or.
We all do. We all do. We all share this in common.
It's like a hard pill to swallow, but we have to.
Yeah. I think I actually really do enjoy it when I'm not like pressured, when I'm not pressured to do it. But also at the same time, discipline is freedom, right? Mm. Like if you have a timeline and you stick to a plan and you have a calendar set and you have all your ideas in place, it's like going to the gym.
That's crazy because of like how it's in the same like level of discipline and also the routine of it.
Yes, there's a lot of limbic friction to overcome, but you know, we all have to do it to be connected to the world.
Yes. Anyway, that's pretty much us for today. Again, thank you so much for hopping on to this while you are on tour with oh my gosh, I'm so like excited for this as well. And I'm looking forward to just hearing more of you in the future as well under
Well, thank you guys for having me on the show. It's been awesome.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, that was Elisa Zylith.
So
wonderful chat. With a wonderful human being.
She's amazing, and I can't believe that we did that, Otto.
I can't believe it either. You know, she was so kind and, like, so insightful as well.
And so vulnerable to speak as well.
I never thought that we would, like, get an interview with someone of, like, her sort of profile at this stage of where we are.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention this as well, that we are so lucky to have an unlimited resource of artists here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Such a huge pool of talent.
And coming from her and giving us that insight means a lot, especially for me coming as a developing artist. It kind of like gives me hope.
Exactly, yeah. The one thing that she said that I thought resonated with me was the part where she said that, you know, during her days in the Naked and Famous, she had to sort of make herself feel small,
yeah,
and sort of blend in
to
the band and, you know, the scene. And I feel like a lot of like Asians and people of color
feel the exact same way.
Exactly, you know, that's something that they have to do, you know. And, you know, it's kind of like anyone who's like outwardly like proud of their heritage or like who they are is like sort of shunned in a way.
And you don't have to like, you know, outshine or, you know, dim it down.
No, and I'm glad that she
hasn't
is able to do that with, you know, especially beginning her career as a solo artist.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, it is almost 12 p.m. and we have
12 a.m.
Sorry,
and it we is have so late. Yeah.
Yes, and we have an hour of songs left for you guys. The next one we're going to be playing is from her most recent LP. This is
Roses.
Yes.